Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Under the Cosh podcast. We all right?
Oh, no,
it noise went a bit then, didn't it? Balls have just dropped.
Just sat on one of your balls here, what?
We all right?
Yeah, very well, very well.
Yeah.
Good.
Chris Sedgwick.
Hello.
Chrissy.
Oh, Chrissy Sedgwick, eh? Oh, it's going to be fun.
Could be for everyone else listening to stories about you two characters. I still don't know how you two have been let loose on this.
It's just Noel's bad, so we're all right. There's no... The good old times.
And the bad ones.
There's been quite a few of them. Quite a few.
Not quite as many clubs as some of the other ragamuffins have dragged in.
Right. No, I've tended to try to stay until I'm not wanted. Then get rid of me, I'm scratching about again. No,
Rotherham early on.
Yeah, Rotherham from school. From 16, left at 24.
I've got down here that your nickname though was the Yorkshire Express.
This is the biggest myth ever that people keep coming back to me about. It must have been on Wikipedia or something. But yeah, the Yorkshire Express derailed many times. I kept you two in goal for quite a while though.
You did, to be fair. You did. I got more from the left with Ross Wallace, but
yeah,
could have done with your Blackburn, Chris.
I'd have had that no goals up to about 2 or 3.
Could have done with fucking Lionel Messi at Blackburn, innit? They mind Chris Sedgwick.
Can't polish a turd, John, can you?
You can't.
7 years at Rotherham, almost, well, seen as more like a talisman.
Yeah, straight from school, playing kind of first team at 17. We went right through up to Championship from League 2. But they were good lads, you know, really good lads. Like, they wouldn't know.
We've spoke about it before on pretty much every podcast that if you've got the team spirit, yeah, and you've got a good set of lads, it's unbelievable how much it helps.
It's scary because we went right from League 2 to Championship, basically the same players. Do you know, wage bill must have been smallest. Going, do you know what I mean? It were minimal what we were on. The club used to pay for us to go away every year. We'd staff everybody. We'd go to Magaluf, Falarake, just all be together all the time, and you'd like, after a game had finished, someone would just go, anyone out tonight? And there'd be 7 or 8 of lads would end up going out. Do you know what I mean? It were just a good time.
That's how it used to be. That's how lads used to go out. Don't really happen so much now where lads go out as
they don't even talk to each other in the dressing room. I don't know. You put your head in and everyone's on the phone, aren't they? There's no banter going about as much.
It was just me and you at Preston, wasn't it? We'd be on the way back from London or somewhere, and he'd be like, fancy a few in Winslow, Chris?
Well,
was it the other way around? It might have been the other way around.
Listen to this, it was the other way around.
I was in to get a divorce. So he'd say, oh, Brownie's on my case to have a few pints. And he'd just go, come on, just come back. Don't take no for an answer. So then we'd be out on a random Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I never used to get the invite.
It was select, John.
Oh, right. Fair,
yeah, it was a tight group.
He used to end up back at our house most of the time, staying. And then one night, I'm laid in bed. Next to this, it's in bed. Just door opens, Brownie comes in, coughed off, bollock naked, sits on the edge of bed like, Ellie's like,
sleepwalking.
Brownie's on bottom of bed with no clothes on.
Not the first time. This yeah, yeah.
Slim walking away for an invite.
He'll at least work on that room.
He'll just get straight in. I don't know what he's on the edge.
So he's got. You're right, Chris. He's going, I'm pissed, Chris. I'm going, oh, well, go and get back in bed then, sausage, will you? Just got up and walked off. Didn't even know about it next morning.
Sleepwalking, eh?
Oh, that's got him out of some scrapes, that sleepwalking excuse. It? It's got him off a few charges, that
one. Who were the biggest character in that Rotherham team, then?
We had a lot of characters, to be fair. Mike Pollitt, you great lad, Andy Munkhouse, Guy Branston. Brando, he's the strongest man you've ever met. And still to this day, you look at him, he's like a bouncer. And he used to just randomly pretend to be a bouncer and throw people out of nightclub. So he'd go and stand at side and he'd like put his hand to his ear and start looking up at the ceiling like he was looking at a camera and start pointing at him. So they'd be like, random bloke stood there with the pints going, what are you doing? He'd go, this one, yeah. Put your drink down, mate. And he'd go, don't make me ask again, mate. Put your drink down. Put your drink down! Kick fire door open and throw him.
Rest of the pint.
I did it to Ronnie Moore once in a while.
An undercover bouncer. Yeah, it's him. We're still in trouble.
We think I'm going to do it.
Polly's a cracker as well, isn't he?
Oh, Polly's one of the funniest things that happened when we were at Rathers. We were coming back on a away trip from London. Do you know, back then, like, lads would have a beer on bus and, do you know, and we've got back to stadium, like, and Ronnie's gone, everyone down at the change of rooms. What's going on? I feel like we've won, everyone were in a good mood, and so we've all gone down to Millmore, no, back down into the dressing rooms. So, again, what's going on here? Like, do you know, someone's sat there, and he's coming, Ronnie's coming, we're all sat there, like, it's like an ocean shape. So I'm sat across from Polly, across that way, and I'm like, what's happened? So Ronnie's coming, he's gone. If I find out who's done this, I don't give a fuck who it is. I'll sack you now on the spot. It's gone off. Some filthy animal. Some disgusting filthy animal has had a shit. And wiped their arse on the toilet.
On the bus?
On bus. And I've wiped my hands on it. So we're like... everyone's shoulders.
Deadly serious.
Everyone's
deadly serious.
Deadly serious. He was fuming. He was red. His head was. And I'm looking at Paul. Me and Monkey are sat next to each other, going like pointing. He's going, it's not me. We're going, fuck off. It's definitely you. So he was fuming. He's going, were it you? And I was going, no. Were it you? No. So like we've all gone. It's like fucking 7:30 at this point. Or everyone's gone out. So we're like, oh, Paul, it were you. Is no, it weren't. It would not admit to it. Everyone knew it were him. Even to this day, he still denies it, but everyone still knows it.
No one else stands
up. He's now known as the filthy animal.
Thing is, you know, it's one of them where it's a bit... You don't really have a shit on the bus.
No, it's
unwritten rule, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like an unwritten rule where... Because obviously it's a...
You've got to go.
The toilets are small and...
He wouldn't have sacked Polly. He loved Polly. Like, Polly... He once said to Polly, you're the son I never had. He's got two sons.
Did one of them play for him as well? I seen Polly in Manchester a couple of years ago. I was out with a few of the Blackburn lads. Gary Medine was there.
You weren't celebrating a goal, were you?
And Gaz had been out all day and he was hammered. Just
Gaz Medine?
But he was being fine. So I'm chatting away to Polly, who's a big Bolton fan. See, as he's looking at us, he's clocking what's behind us. He went, you know what I mean? Bolton, I'm a Bolton fan, bottom of the league, and our star striker's got a traffic cone on his head. Turn round and Gaz is doing the robot with this random traffic cone on his head. And Bolton were like in a relegation battle and they nearly had a bit of a scrap. Gaz is a great lad, but it was just hilarious. Doing the robot in neighbourhood dance floor with a cone on his head.
When we'd come to Wednesday, Gaz, and he'd been just knocking, he'd come down, he had on his own, and like he'd got roped in with
from Carlisle?
Yeah.
From Carlisle?
Yeah. Got on that scene, you know, going out with a few randoms who were like hanging on him. So we've gone out on Tuesday afternoon. They were like me and Nicky Weaver, Tommy Miller, Neil Mellor, and Nicky Weaver's getting him this big pep talk. You know, I've been where you are, do you know? they're not your mates, you know. You've got to look after yourself. You don't want to be getting chucked out of places and stuff like that. Everyone will think you're a dickhead. Just keep your head down.
Get a reputation.
Get a reputation. I've been there. About 3 hours later, me and Gaz ripped by. He goes, that's some good advice from him, weren't it? Weaves has got 2 arms up his back.
Nicky Weaver in Dublin.
Oh,
that is one of the drunkest I've ever seen a man in my life. It was a Sunday, weren't it?
We were impressed. We'd gone to Wednesday, weren't we?
Yeah.
It was before 12 o'clock as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was more.
He'd not been to bed. We were supposed to be meeting at bar at like 11. And I'd come down and he was still sat there. And he got these two Irish kids at cidering.
What, hangers on?
Yeah.
just random bit. They're not his mates. They weren't his mates, you know.
He'd got them into the bar, like hotel bar. We're staying at that Morgan, do you know, on Temple Bar. So we've gone in. And I've walked down thinking I'm first down here. Like, and he's sat there with his Guinness. And he's gone. Everyone who walked down, he's got this pint of Guinness. Everyone who walked past him, he's gone, let's have a look at that Guinness. And then he's gone, have a good look at that, pal. You'll not see it in a second. Bang, down in one. Must have done it to about 8 people walking down. So, like, it was fancy dress. So, we're going, go and get changed. And we're going out. He's come down in this, I don't know what, he had like this daft pink hat on and stuff. But at this point, he's like one of them human weebles, you know, that
couldn't stand up. I remember
it. Old Dubliner at 11 o'clock this Sunday morning. And from his hips, his legs were straight and his hips, he were basically at a right angle, but going backwards. How we weren't falling over, I'll never know.
It was like defying gravity, wasn't it?
And he were absolutely, like, gone. I think, Percy? Now,
Percy kept saying, I'm going to take him home. And we're not leaving, he's all right. Give him another half hour, because he was just entertaining everyone, weren't he?
So he went home, like, at 11:30 the Sunday morning. Next time we saw him, we're on the flight. Oh.
He didn't wake up.
Went to bed, never woke up.
He didn't wake up.
I'm not surprised.
Like,
so one of the worst drunks I've ever seen.
So we're all like hanging out as asses on the plane on the way back. Waves is there, like, he's just going on holiday. All bright eye, bushy tail. All right, Waves.
Breakfast, lads.
Yeah, I feel fucking grand as ex. Yeah. And we're all fucking blowing out as ass.
He's a great lad. Like, we've been to Magwell for him a few times, him and his brothers and that. And he's great cracking on a day out and that. He's,
remember that when we got stitched up in Dublin with a... When these came into his room, unbeknowingly.
I got up in the middle, and I used to room with this character for Parky for some reason. The most disgusting man I've ever been. But I liked it, you know. We used to have a good time.
Entertaining from a distance.
Yeah, we roomed together for quite a bit, didn't we? Yeah. We used to have a wrestle on that, didn't we?
That was the first thing, would you? When we checked into the hotel, we used to go up, chuck his bags in, take his shirts
off,
take his shirts off, oil up, and have a wrestle.
And he used to go, do you want one? I go, in a bit. So I go, come on. He go, come on, I'm really racing it. I said, come on then. So he used to come in and cloth off every item of clothing. Like, so I'd go, put some pants, I'm not wrestling, but you're going to find.
I don't know why we did it, but we've been knocking lamps off. The mattresses would be off the bed. We'd come down for food at night, and all his necks were red raw. And like, we were scratched and everything. We were like, what the fuck? We've been wrestling again. Let's just have a rash.
Like, it started off like everyone. A bit, we'd like grab each other, but then he'd like pin me down and start slapping me. And obviously I'm not going to and I get angry because I can't move in. And like, I remember once I had him pinned though between two beds and he couldn't move. Who's strongest? He's going, I'm not saying it.
Eddie trouser press.
30-year-old man at this point doing this.
But that was the first thing that he was like, get in, bag down, boom, shirt off, wrestle. No one were even watching us. We just have a wreck. I don't know why.
He used to get in.
But it got to the point where we were like, we couldn't do it. We don't have a cup of tea until we had a wrestle.
He'd get in, cloth off.
That might have been it. Whoever lost the wrestle and got the
tea. Yeah, I think it were.
Or run the baths and that.
He got in. He used to get in and cloth off and everything. I'd go, John, why? Oh, I just like to be comfort. So then racing posts would come out of the water. And snooks would go in or whatever they are, what are they, snooks, tea bags.
Snoot.
And he'd be reading it, I'd be like, watch it, tell you something. And you just take these two things out and just chuck them in the general direction. You don't even look. So you're like, I got some time. Like a minefield getting through all these tea bags. Anyway, going back to that Dublin one. So, yeah, we'd be an hour early, but it was Sunday.
You were in before me.
Yeah, I'd blown up. As normal. Yeah, I were in bed for about 12.
Crashed and burned.
I've woke up in middle of about, must have been about 4 a.m. I've no like you. Still half cut, so I'm getting to the toilet, walking through and I'm not really looking, and I just feel something between my toes, and I've looked down at, and I've, there's a big pile of shit, and it's gone straight through my toes.
It was worse than the athlete's foot.
And it was still warm, so I've gone, Parky!
Light's gone on. I'm like,
are you asleep or do you?
I'm asleep.
You've gone, you've done it and gone.
He's gone, what's up? I've gone, you dirty bastard. I said, what you done here? So I've stood in it. So I'm at bath, showering me top, I'm going, you dirty bastard. He's on his hands and knees wiping.
No, he went, you've shit up floor. I went, I don't think I have. He went, well, who else has been on shit up floor? I'm not shit up floor. I says, mate, I don't know if I've gone for a shit when I've come in and I've gone up too early and I've just thought, fuck it, I'm getting in bed. But anyway, so I'm like, I'm scratching my head, I'm thinking, I don't think I have. He went, get it cleaned up. So I thought, well, it must be me, I'll clean it up. So I'm on my hands and knees at 4 o'clock in the morning, he's in the shower, showering his toes down, and I'm cleaning this chudding in shit in carpet. So, you know what I mean?
Carpet?
Yeah, it's carpet, it's in a hotel. It's carpet of floor.
I thought we were in bathroom.
No,
we're
on the couch. It's in carpet. So I'm like on my hands and knees, like trying not to be sick, cleaning it up. And like, so got it cleaned up, we've got in bed, he's obviously fucking furious. So I got up next morning, gets to the airport. He's like that. Never guess what this dirty bastard's done. He's shit up the way.
He couldn't wait to tell me, what about him standing in my shit last night?
So, by this time I thought, well, it must be me. I'm going to take credit for this. He's been walking through my shit all week. And then, but
it were a good couple of days later, weren't it? You were still kind of crowing about it.
No, it weren't. It were at the airport. And I'm like, no, I must have had a shit in my room and I don't think it were me. But... And then these are all giggling and that. So we're like...
My shoulders were going, you know, when he's... Because he was livid. I couldn't keep a straight face.
We've like... Obviously, we've got to airport and that next day. He's still furious at me. I'm thinking, he's not going to want to wrestle no more. we could have had his last wrestle here. And these are all like chuckling to the sense. I'm like, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at? These have gone to reception, got a key for our room.
No, you left it open, so
yeah, it was on the latch.
Latch, yeah.
And you don't turn them opportunities down.
As we well know.
Yeah. So the big goat's come in. Obviously, we've not heard him. He's took a dump on our floor.
You said you were watching us through a mirror, didn't you, while you were doing it?
Yeah, just cracking up. It was too good of an opportunity to turn down, so I've just squatted. And then just
unleashed.
Close the door quietly behind us.
Bearing in mind,
we've
been on piss for 2 days, so you can imagine a 2 day Guinness shit in Dublin, can't you?
I think I've still got a bit between the toes.
Good job, you didn't get up for a wrestle that morning.
Oh, God.
Proper scat party. Were these two already at Preston when you arrived?
No. I'd been there a couple of years, I think.
So you were established and then?
We were the reinforcements.
Yeah. Me and him have spoke a few times about that changing room. Like how good it was.
Yeah, we had a great
set. What were first impressions when you both come in?
Arrogant, I'm tipping.
Yeah, we're
let, let him speak, yeah. Let him make his own mind up. Stop putting words in his mouth. No, have a wrestle you two anyway.
He took the words
we'll have to get one after, we'll have to get one filmed.
Get on YouTube.
we were a bit arrogant, Chris, when he first came in. We were quite standoffish.
Just because you stand off, it doesn't make you arrogant, Chris.
Yeah, I couldn't work out whether you were shy or arrogant, but I went for arrogant one. Yeah. I knew Johnny from kind of when I were at Rotherham, he were at Barnes and stuff, as when we were kids playing at reserves and stuff like that. So, but I'd not seen him for years, and then he balled in up. You didn't train, did you? You just coming for
game? No, I did my medical about 10:30, the Friday night. I met Alan Irvine and Derek Shaw then, the chairman, on the Thursday. And I drove up from Stoke, and we were obviously having food, and I'd had my dinner at Stoke at probably 12 o'clock. And this will probably half eight, 9 o'clock, right? So I'm fucking starving here, right? I'm absolutely starving, right? So
sitting down with your new manager.
With my new manager, my new chairman. I'm thinking, do I order a starter?
If they were paying, yes, that's the answer.
I'm thinking, I want a starter. Fuck it. I need. And they're like, obviously, Alan Irvine ordered his food. Yeah, I just have the prawn pasta. I'm thinking, fuck me, he's not even that for starter, is he? I'm just going to have to get a main here. I thought, which is going to be the most, the least calories? I thought, I'll have a spag ball. I'll have a spag ball, please. So, let me spag ball. No pudding. Oh, fucking hell. So basically,
I've heard of John Parkin leaving a restaurant without pudding.
So basically, I've had this spag ball. It's not even touched the sides. So finished the meeting, blah blah blah. I went to drive back down to Stoke because I was training at Stoke on the Friday. I thought, fuck it, pulled up by the McDonald's on the way back down to Stoke. And the McDonald's.
Do you know what? He was unbelievable.
It was one of the best debuts I've ever seen.
Yeah. He were pulling it down on his chest. He were pinging it out to wings, getting it bought. He, honestly, I'm like,
they're thinking we've got a fucking bargain here. we've got a bargain here.
It was unbelievable. Like, he's getting it down.
Won the game 2-1.
And so we're coming after, and Alan Irvine's gone, that is what I've signed. He's not just a big lump.
This in front of you. This in front of you.
He's sat there like,
like a nodding dog.
Oh, I should have asked for a bit fucking more.
He's taking his places. His feet, get it into his feet. He don't want it round his head. He's this, he's that. So Parky's sat there with the biggest grin on his face ever. So played Burnley the week after. Half time, we're coming in. I think we were losing 1-0 or something like that. So we've come in. We're all sat there. Alan Irvine's coming on. John, that is completely unacceptable.
I went from Lionel Messi to very Messi in one game.
You're not running, you're not getting older, you're not. He's going, I'm sorry, lads, I'm fucking shit.
I got dragged off time.
I was sat on my shoulders and going to tear him.
As far as babies, he could be.
Whiner.
Just a big baby. Do you know if he's dropped? Oh, yeah, wow, you've got to stay a wide berth.
You met your match with Neely, didn't you? Neely's first day.
Yeah. I loved all crack and banter there, but when I trained, I trained proper. No, like I enjoyed training hard and doing it right. That's why I didn't used to like being on his team. So Neil Collins has signed Brownie. Yeah, maybe Brownie knew him, and he's kind of gone, you know, he's a bit fiery, is Neely. So literally, first training session, when we'd gone into possession, like possession box, I've given it away, and he's gone to me, "Hey, you, fucking live or not?"
First training session.
Hang on a minute. What are you, the fucking ginger pal?
Obviously, we're all just like that. And Neely's face is like raging. Fuck off!
So that were it. He were on my shit list for about 2 weeks. I couldn't wait for him to get away, just so I could be on him straight away.
Neely's one of the nicest lads I've met in football.
He's a great
lad. But when he gets on the pitch,
that's
just
over
that.
The white line,
just,
kind of.
Just red mist. Yeah, click
training,
the finger.
Even in training.
And I love that about him, that he trained as he played. But like, usually, like Brownie said, you go to a new club, you're bedding a little bit. You know,
yeah.
You keep
you're sitting on your own for a couple of weeks.
He was just straight in.
It were like the rest of us were like, has he really just took him out?
But I knew Neely from Sunderland, so I knew that it could have been coming. I could see him like gritting his teeth, going bright red. That was the giveaway when he starts going red. Fucking liven up.
It got to the point where he just stopped shouting at me. We're like, fuck Neely, fuck off.
Nicest lad ever.
Brilliant. He's a great lad. What about that night we had in Benal Medina?
Right,
we'd got done 4-0 at Watford. Game before, and we'd already got this. I think we ended up getting playoffs that season, but we'd hit a bit of a sticky patch. So Alan had booked this training camp in Benal Medina. So he's coming after and he's gone, not acceptable, boys. And if you think it's going to be on a holiday next week, you have got another thing coming. We're working morning, night, blah blah blah. So we've got there first. Bags are in, so we've gone. Is it our?
We trained. I think we trained in the afternoon.
We got there.
Had us dinner,
and then we've gone to him. Is it all right if we go down to Marina and just have a coffee? And like, yeah, there's no problem. Trust you, whatever. So we've gone down to Marina, had a coffee straight away. He's gone, I'll have a pint, Parker. So Yeah, we'll have a
go
couple.
On then.
So we've had what, three or four? The next minute, do you know these will come around selling all like flashing lights?
Yeah, like that. I like sculpt off. I says, come on, pal, like to this guy selling all the flashing
laser
glasses,
pens,
flashing God and the Gopher.
He comes back, he's got two puppets on each hand, he's got flashing lights, he's got an ass on. What else did you have? Something around your neck, and he's got. I'll tell the jokes, Alan. This is going to be a holiday.
Get around with. Lads, it's not an holiday. Not out with these fucking puppets.
I've still got a picture on the computer.
So first night, we probably had, we didn't have many.
Well, we'd just gone down in his shorts and T-shirt and that.
Yeah,
we probably had
maybe six or seven, didn't we?
Yeah, and then second night, we've like...
Train next day, morning and afternoon. Fuck it, shall we go back down? Yeah, we'll go back to the
same place, weren't it?
Yeah, same booze. So there were seven of us, weren't they? There were us three.
Billy Jones.
Neely.
And Mel.
Yeah.
Mel. So we've gone down, we've got sat in this... We're down,
it was like a little back
side
street.
We weren't busy, we were like February or something like that, weren't it? So he started pace off on pints. I've gone with best intention, I'm only having a couple and I'm going to bed, like, you know, but he starts off at a ridiculous pace, like chucking them down, you're like, so... Before you know it, we're about 7 pints deep, aren't we? It's got stupid.
O'clock.
Like Neil Collins is climbing that lemon tree across people around to everybody.
Second night, we've probably had 10 pints, so we've got up next day, we're a bit rough. We've got in for probably 1 o'clock-ish.
Yeah.
Got up next day, a bit rough, train morning, afternoon. Finished the dinner at night. We're going again, boys.
Boom, the troops up.
MM7, go on, lad, the taxis are coming. So,
bearing in mind, this isn't an holiday.
It's not a holiday. It's a heavy training session.
Nights we've gone down like in shorts and t-shirt, but lads are getting smarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a suit on, man.
So we're from this little back street pub, and we just sat outside, weren't we? Literally. So we're just chucking 20 euros in the middle, and then they come and then. Could bring 7 pints, so we sat there just gassing, just talking. And then one of the lads looks at his watch. He went, "Lads, it's 3:30, right?" We're like, "What time we're training?" 8:30. Fuck it, we'll have one more and we'll get off.
One for the road.
We'll have one more, we'll get off. But we couldn't get taxis. There was one taxi.
There was one taxi.
It was a bit like West Brom, but we didn't nick it. So like. We're thinking we could get in a bit of bother here now.
Yeah,
if we get back at 1 o'clock, it'll be a bit pissed, but not. So, like, all seven of us run to this taxi, right?
Every man for themselves.
Trying to get in it first. So, three got in it, and then obviously.
He was boom.
The taxi's full and that. Brownie's not in it. So, pops the boot, jumps in the boot, slams the boot back down, right? The taxi driver comes out, obviously speaking Spanish, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, having it with it.
So, we had to get out. She says, "Can you call us another taxi?" Who calls us another taxi? We're in the 2nd Battalion, aren't we? We're in the 2nd Cab. For some reason, this taxi driver did not know the way to the hotel, right? So we're driving around Bella Medina, lost, right? We've obviously got no idea where we are.
The mountains, eh?
Yeah, we were maybe 20 minutes away. Anyway, our taxi took about 40 minutes to get us back. So we probably got back at, what, 5?
Yeah, I think we had two hours kept in,
yeah. Got back.
I was running with you, weren't I?
Sure, we're wrestling. So we get us back at 5. We're up at 7:30 for breakfast, sir. Had us breakfast.
I remember waking up, looks across, you know, when you wake up and your head's banging. I looks across at Tim. And he's got a fucking taxi driver's coat on.
I'm like, badger in his neck.
Clearly, he's full gear with his coat on.
I let him took my clothes off.
I've got shoes on. I'm like, where you got that from, man?
Hey, stop.
Oh, shit. And then he started checking. I hope I've not got his checking.
So I've gone to sleep in all my clothes and the fucking taxi driver's. I must have been sweating fucking cobs.
So we've gone to, I felt my head were pounding. Yeah, we've gone down to do this passing drill.
But well, we were training properly.
Yeah, we were a proper training thing. Like, so we started off on this passing drill, and we're all on the same drill.
We're all like, there might have been eight per group. So all six of us ended up in the same group. Fucking
hell. Balls flying everywhere.
Yeah, honestly, it was like an under fucking
to
seven
be fair,
training
and then
session.
We ended up being, we had like small sided games, didn't we? And then we weren't the same team, but we redeemed ourselves, didn't we?
Yeah, we were sobered up, didn't we?
Remember Harty?
Yeah. There's a lad, Michael Hart, didn't come out, but he should have done. Yeah. He was horrific. in the 2v2s, I was against him, and I was step overs, knocked it past him, and the lad's like, was Hardy out last night? No. But I was.
So we had an hard training session, right, and we're thinking, we're training in the afternoon. Anyway, Alan Irvine goes, like, quite excited, weren't he? He says, yeah. Right, lads, we're going to have a drink this afternoon. My fucking heart dropped. I don't want another. Give me a fucking breath. So
actual official night out. We were like, broke
the
remember.
The
and he had no idea that you'd been sloping out.
Well, I don't know if he did or not. But the last night, well, the official night out, like, lads were playing cards. I had to go to bed for 3 hours.
We went for Chinese and stuff, didn't we? Remember that with Radcliffe? Can you not remember? So we're on the physio, Matt Radcliffe, end up going to Man U and stuff like that. He's quite chirpy, he read us like, yeah. He's bawling it about. So Stephen Elliott's gone up to this woman and gone, he's just said you are the most minging woman in here. And she's come over and gone to him, what have you said about me? And he's looked and gone, no. And he went, have you said I'm the most minging woman here? And he's gone, no. And she's gone, bang, slapped him across the face.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
She's gone, my husband's a boxer, you know. And he's gone, you can see his like face is it. He's gone, is he? Is he here tonight? She's gone, no. He went, well, fuck off then.
On that afternoon, Wilson.
Yeah. I've just got up here. I've just got up. So I've gone to bed. We've probably gone to bed about 12 o'clock, and I've got up at 3 o'clock. Right. So lads have had a few drinks by now. So I'm playing for you. I'm playing catch up here. So I've got down. I'm trying to force them down, and I think Mel's went to bar. Were you going to bar, Mel's? We were going somewhere anyway.
That's what, I think we're all just stood
by the pool. Yeah.
And one of the lads has rugby tackled him.
Paul Parry
rugby tackled him in.
Into the
water. Yeah. So he's obviously gone down under the water. Right?
We're actually that deep. You're probably no, up to here.
He's gone under
chairs.
Like, and Mel's a big fanny anyway. He's stood up straight, like, proper up, like, stiff.
Yeah,
phone in
his pocket.
He went,
yeah.
I've got my fucking phone in my pocket. Right? So obviously, like, I was like, oh no. And he's got up, he was a bit like Sedgwick. And he stood next to the pool with his hand full of sulking. Bang out of order, that.
He walked up to him, like, squared him up, and he just went, I'm raging.
Just picked his towel up and went off to his room in the huff.
Yeah, honestly. He's like,
we ain't going to come out now.
Get his phone on the radiator.
Out of order. And we had to convince him to come out now, didn't we?
But it kind of killed the mood of the night, didn't it?
Yeah. I think the fact that we'd probably been on piss for 3 days before it killed it.
Yeah.
I were leaving Preston, was it? Because I read Darren Ferguson surplus to requirements.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny one, to be fair.
His luck had run out. He just started hitting fucking all them knees and he weren't getting it all the end.
I'd just been talking about a new deal with Alan Irvine, like about an extension, and we were virtually there. We'd agreed it all and stuff, and then obviously Al got sacked and went to Sheffield Wednesday.
A dream of yours, so you're a Wednesday fan, aren't you?
Yeah. So then it was sad, really, because I've been there a long time. I loved it, and I would have stayed 100%, but I felt like I'd been shoved out of the side door a little bit,
Yeah.
And then he tried to find me a week's wages for not turning up to play at Yeadu. So it left a bit of taste in the end, to be fair, but it is what it is, isn't it? I'd had 6 or 7 fantastic years there. We'd been successful. I would go in, whatever, like, I'd already spoke to Alan, and they were like, didn't know whether they were going to stay in Championship or get relegated or what, and then they ended up going down on the last day. They lost to Palace, I think, and they went down to...
Were you going either way?
I'd turned down, kind of. I'd had a couple of sniffs. I'd had a sniff from America, could have gone to MLS. I'd spoke to Brighton, And had a couple of decent offers, but I ended up taking less money on less years to sign for Wednesday in the end, but which went not always a great decision, is it?
You remember, if you'd have asked me about that, Chris, I'd have told you no.
But no, it was great.
Was that because it were your
I'd always, for nostalgic reasons? Yeah, yeah. I'd have always looked back and thought, if I'd have turned down a chance to play for him, I'd have probably always regretted it. And to be fair, it didn't work out great. No, I went there, played a lot in first year under Allen, then Gary Megson come in, and I probably played 12 games in that promotion season, something like that, 12 appearances, and it just didn't really happen for me. I mean, it happens to me, Bremner, like you know, at Blackburn. And
as Chris knows only too well, didn't you?
And sometimes you can't put your finger on it. Why? Do you know, I loved my time there, enjoyed it. It was great. Scoring at Hillsborough, you know, it was a boyhood thing, always wanted to do it. So,
I also enjoy scoring at Hillsborough. Remember when we won? Yeah. We 0-0 with about 10 minutes to go, weren't it? And somebody played it, and I've scored 1-0 in front of the cop. And I thought, fuck this, I might not get this chance again. So I've sprinted, and I've done a full knee slide in front of the cop, mate. Honestly, like, head back, arms out, mate. Honestly, like I won World Cup. And I'm thinking, fucking get in. Obviously, I'm getting pelters from the fans, and I've looked up and turned around. Nobody come celebrating with me. I just had to stand up and walk back on my own. I was like,
I was going out that night. I was thinking, I'm not getting involved in this.
Like, cheers, lads.
Fucking hell.
Left me out, hanging out to dry in front of Cop at Wednesday.
No, there were some. We'll talk about team spirit. It was a funny dressing room at Wednesday. We kind of. Alan had signed a lot of probably lads who would. Wrong side of 30, maybe. We didn't have enough legs. They weren't that hunger there that you get in different dressing rooms. But there were a lot of egos at the same time. There were lads like Clinton Morris, and Clinton's a great lad, do you know what I mean? He's funny and.
Can I Clinton?
He can rub people up wrong way, but when you get him on his own, he's a lovely lad, you know. And but I've never seen as many fights in training. I'd gone through my career, like, you see odd dust up, don't you? There used to be like one every other day, like, do you know. And Jermaine Johnson were always like instigator in there. He'd end up slapping someone, then it'd kick off. And it
went back to Clinton Morrison. I remember, I think it might be my debut for Hull. So I'm charging about trying to impress him, blah blah blah. And
whoa! When has that ever happened? You charging about
for 10 minutes? I did 10 minutes, and something happened, and there was a bit of a scuffle, and I can remember Clinton Morrison, and he come into my face. He says. Ever come to London, I'll shoot you, bruv.
What?
Ever come to London, I'll shoot you, bruv. And I'm like, I thought I'd misheard him. He says, I'll shoot you, bruv. And I'm like, fuck off. Like, fuck off, pal. You know what I mean? And then, obviously, Christmas do's after, when you were at Wednesday.
Yeah.
Obviously, Clinton Morris is on me, he's in Dublin. So I says to him, Clinton! You fetch your gun.
After they got the shooter.
You fetch your gun with you, Clinton.
He went, Parky's dressed as a French maid at this point.
Yeah, I got this, like, to be fair, it was a bad planning. I ordered it, and it was coming on the Friday. No, it came the Saturday morning, so basically I got to wear it, whatever. I've got another option. And it was 27 inches, this French maid outfit. And it was naughty sailor, it were. Like, obviously, female naughty sailor, right? So when I put it on, as I say, it was 27 inches. So whenever I put my nipples in, my balls came out. Whenever I put my balls in, my nipples came out. So basically, and obviously, Christmas do it December, mate. Lads were hanging the coats on my nipples and that.
At least they weren't hanging on your balls. So,
so I'm dressed as this naughty sailor. Like, he fetched your gun, Clinton. And he's sort of like, party man, but you know how he is.
He played against Andy Monkhouse at Whitby now, and I think Clinton's playing for Michelover. And he said he was telling all their lads he were going to shoot him. So he's not mellow.
He's not changed, has he?
He's not that quiet lad you see on Channel 5.
He's like trying to calm it down. Right, parking, Matt, like trying to laugh it off. Parking.
He's a good lad.
Bro.
He's all from, do you know what I mean? You get him on his own, he's a nice lad, but when he's got an audience, he's funny. Like he used to torture Ryan Lowe's life out. Do you know when Ryan Lowe come to Chef Wednesday from Bury, and like he just won't leave him alone. Like he'd be having his breakfast and he'd go, oh, look at Lowe, he just took a picture of his dinner, he can't believe that he's at a club of this size. Go get your family and get the pictures to
him. <Yeah. laughs> Ruthless.
Was Prutton there?
Oh yeah, Prutts is hilarious. Do you know, he comes across on Sky as being this, do you know, he's really well educated, Prutts.
Who's this?
I mean,
David Prutton.
But he's so funny, do you know. He's a loose cannon when he goes out, but he's just hilarious, do you know. We'd get in showers like after training, and he goes to me, right, come on, arms up, let's get you washed. And I'd be stood there, like, and I'd just play along with it. So I'd put my arms up, and like you'd have all like black lads like Jermaine Johnson, that they'd be going, whoa, batty boys! And, all that. And he'd be like, start working his way down under the arms and that. And then turn around, let's get your back done. And I'm stood there. He's hilarious.
Plums
and, like,
a lot.
Like, oh, everything underneath. Oh,
I used to get Lonners at Lonners used to hate it.
Oh God,
Lonners were
Andy Lonergan.
Yeah, I used to talk.
He'd wait until he'd be washing his hair. Do you know when he got all the shampoo in his eyes, and he'd go up and start grabbing all his nuts and he'd go, "Parky, Georg, Georg."
But like, he'd be cowering in the corner with soap in his eyes. He couldn't see me. No one, couldn't see me. No one coming, bro. And I'd be like washing his ass and that. And he'd be like, "Parky, Georg, Georg, leave me alone."
There were one time. Preston, I've walked in youth team change room, I've walked through and they're all sat there with their towels like, ah, what are you doing? He's gone, waiting to get in the shower. I said, why are you not allowed in? Parky's in. So I've gone into the shower, going to her. I said, oh, kids are in there, they don't come in because you're in. He went, go and tell them I've got out. So I've put my head around, he's around the corner, I've gone, lads, get in quick, he's gone. So they've all like scurried in and they're like Gary Walsh, and he just popped his head in and gone, are you boring? You've absolutely shit the pants.
Bad Piper.
I can remember with Lonners as well, when we were playing it. I think when we were at I don't think Lonners realised how good he actually were.
Oh,
he's brilliant.
Lonners were incredible, but like he'd pull a save off and he'd go out for a corner and I'd be running back and I'd get in the box and I'd say, Lonners, great save. Tell you what, you're the best keeper in the league, you. He'd go, cheers, back, yeah. I'd say, if you're playing in fucking League 2.
During the game.
And his face would just start. Fuck off. He'd be like,
used to call him Flappigan.
Andrew Flappigan. Keepers away, oh no, it's happened again.
Anyway, he's a top drawer, lad. Really good keeper. He should have playing a lot more games than he is. He's one of the best keepers I've played with. Definitely.
Should have. When we were in Marbella, were it Marbella? We were on a pre-season trip. I think it was Marbella, and I'm rooming with Lonners. He never wanted to wrestle, believe it or not. And he said West Brom had made a bid for us, and they've offered me a 4-year contract on XYZ. Preston has said they're not selling us. He says, what do you mean they're not selling it? He says, yeah, they said they're not selling it. He says, what are you going to do? He says, oh, what can I do? I says, you go down to training in the morning, mate. I says, you fucking kick every football as far away as you possibly can. Everything that's set up, you kick the shit out of it all. All the poles, cones, snap them, rip them up, cut them up, whatever you need to do to get out. He says, I can't do that. I says, Lonners, this is like a life-changing deal. He says, I can't do it. I says, I'd chin the manager. If it meant me getting out, I would chin the manager. And I would be deadly honest. He says, I can't. Anyway, they ended up signing Boaz Mael from Hull.
Yeah.
And he's been there ever since.
Yeah.
About 8 years he's been there.
Yeah. It's longer. Yeah. It's longer, mate. I bet it's 10 years.
Yeah.
So Lotners could have been the Boaz Mael position now and been a Premier League goalkeeper for the last 10 years if he'd had some.
Just not in his character though to do that,
no,
was
it's
it?
Not.
It's not. I know, but you've got. Sometimes you've got to do it. Do you know what I mean? It were a life changing. It told me what, it were a life changing deal.
Mm.
Some players
have got it. Some haven't they? It depends what character you are. Some lads will cause carnage. Just use the cause carnage anyway. Do you know when you weren't even? I remember Danny Dicchio telling us about when. Here at West Brom with Sean Gregan. Someone had come in for Greaves, I don't know where, it might be in Leeds or something like that, and Mego wouldn't let him go. So he said he'd like pied him off to one of the train with kids, and he said he'd be in the middle of a session next week. Greaves had just come stomping through it, all midly, just kick every ball away, like, what session's going on? Like, let me go, Rusty Nuts and all this stuff.
It'll all stop. Let me go. It'll all stop.
Gary Mason. Actually, honestly, yeah. Monday to Friday, nice. If he was sat here now, he'd be holding court. And he's a great guy. But he even admits himself, on a Saturday afternoon, he is a raving lunatic.
Yeah.
And when it's not you, it's hilarious. When it's you, it's horrible. But this was like going back to Rotherham. When I was at Rotherham, we were playing West Brom in Championship at Millmore. And Darren Moore stepped out and tried to hit this 40-yard diag, and it's gone out of play. So he's shouting, he's going nuts. I'm on wing aside room, and he's going nuts. He's going, Morrow! Morrow! And his head's getting redder and redder. And Morrow's just blanking him. Morrow! Blanked him again. Morrow! I think he's going to collapse in a minute. So I've like looked around, looked at him, and he's gone, Morrow! Still blanked him. He's gone, oh, you're deaf as well as shit, are you?
All the crowd must have been
it was brilliant.
Were you at Preston with Dennis Booth?
Oh, Booth, yeah.
I remember Dwight York was saying he's one of the funniest men in football. He was a Villa, wasn't he? Assistant at Villa.
With Graham Taylor, weren't he? And Paul Simpson brought him in. I remember first day walking in. And there were blokes sat there on the stand, red hot day, first day of pre-season, big chain round his neck, no top on, having a fag. Who's that? I was assistant manager.
Gold chain.
The gold chain. But it was brilliant. Like, his banter was, he didn't do any coaching, he was just there purely for the lads, you know, yeah. Like, to get morale up and that. And one of the funniest things he ever did, like, you know, he were always like up to like, pranking and stuff like that. So one day I've come in and walked into the canteen. And he's got his arm fully bandaged. He's got the T-shirt on. His arm's fully bandaged all the way up. Like, and he's going, every time he moves it, I thought, I'm not getting involved. So I've just gone and got a cup of tea. Go, morning, Dan, you all right? Yeah, yeah, good. Said, So I've sat down. Sean St. Ledger's coming. Fucking hell, Dan, what are you doing? It's my own fault. What's happened? He said, well, I pulled him, put some petrol in coming up the Blackpool Road there, Preston. And he says, this bit must have gone on my arm, like, you know? He's gone, yeah. He says, anyway, I've wiped it off. Anyway, got in car, you know, like a fag, I've lit up. He said, a bit's gone on my arm. He says, on my sleeve's set on fire. He's gone, you're joking. He says, anyway, I've panicked. I've stuck it out a window. He said, it's made it worse. It's all gone up. He said, anyway, police have come, put it out, and they've arrested me. And he's going, you're joking, what for? He went, possession of a firearm! And he'd come in early, just to use
preparation,
just to do this one gag. And they're only about three, isn't it?
I can't imagine Ben's got it to start with either.
Oh, it was brilliant. He used to ring our house phone. He used to call me Albert for some reason.
He used to ring your house phone.
He'd ring house phone at night. So one game, I think we played like Norwich or something like that, and I'd had a stinker. It was one of them, no, it's going under your foot, and that way you got to control it, and that, you know,
and we know him well, don't we, Chris?
So I was lower than a snake's belly. So I'm sat there Saturday night watching telly, and house phone's gone, and I thought, fuck, I'm not getting that. So I've let you go through to. Answer machine. I've just heard her. Albert, it's the master, Dennis Booth. I'm just ringing to tell you, son, you were fucking horrific today. If you could have gotten away as many times as that, I would have dragged you off soon. He said, everyone was saying he's not hiding, but we wanted you to hide. He says, anyway, there's another game Tuesday, son, keep your head up. I'm just sat there in a chair like, oh, the book. We wanted you to work.
Did he used to referee the games in training?
Yeah. He'd just pull you and go down in a minute, I'll give it the most outrageous dive you've ever done. And I'll give you a penalty. And I'd be like, alright, thank you. So he'd like, be quiet. Because at that time you got like Graham Alexander, Callum Davidson, do you know all these lads who they wanted to train properly, like, so they hated any messing about. So like, I'd come out and do this mad dive, he'd go, penalty! Fucking bullshit, Dan! Bullshit! And Dan would be going, penalty, I know what I saw.
Like this school team, yeah, junkers.
Yeah. I'm Bobby Charlton.
He'd be nearly coming to blows. You know, training. We went to...
possession of a firearm.
He took us to Marbella training. they took some out there training on like January or something like that, and we got Den's key for his room, and we went in and we put everything on bed that we could find. So we got like oak plant pots from outside on balcony, everything out of wardrobe. It like piled up, so like slightly
like a bonfire,
yeah, and it'd go. So we didn't. There were me, Graham Alexander, and Paul McHenry went in and did it. We never said a word, and we'd been charging drinks back to his room all week. never said up. So he was desperate to know who it were. One time then he got this horrendous Hawaiian shirt like he'd brought with him, but he hadn't wore. So someone had told Sean St. Ledger about it. So he's next day he's come down for it in training. He's going, I knew it, but you gave me room. Got on bus at end and got his bill, and it was something stupid like €900. He's going, it's €900. I don't even drink Smirnoff Ice.
What the fuck have been drinking Smirnoff Ice?
I think it was new. I don't even drink Smirnoff Ice. I'm not paying this.
Park, you mentioned before he did you with form with a transfer,
yeah.
Well, we're an agent.
Yeah,
it was a number of your fault.
It was one of his finer moments that he goes, he had me up like line and sinker, to be fair, and I went for it.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever done.
Yeah, it was good. It was sloppy from me, you know, no pin code on my phone and leaving it open like that, and it was, I stopped and thought about it, and I'd wondered why you're all crowding around me looking at your phone. I had a problem.
Well, the excitement on his face. The excitement and the smile, and that it was almost smug.
Giddy,
right, lads. Looks like I'm off.
Enjoy the rest of the season, lads.
Some VAT to that.
I've got my move. That's it.
Yeah, it's not. And you think I would have learnt from it, but I got done again off Big Clive Platt when we were at Bury. We'd gone to Tenerife on a training camp, pre-season. So we'd had a night out on Saturday night, end of week, worked hard. Said, right, can I have a night out this Saturday? Go out, do whatever you want. No curfew. Everyone back Sunday morning for breakfast. That's the only thing. Flying home Monday morning. So everyone's down at breakfast. Flicker's gone. Right, lads. Day to day, chill out. Do whatever you want. No one is drinking. If I find anyone's drinking, you'll get done a week's wage. And like, blah, I'll tell your families, blah, blah, blah. Do you know?
It's a bit steep, like, David. Yeah.
So,
No, you can find me a week's, but whatever you do, don't tell your mum and dad. Like, I'm fucking 33, pal. So, mum and dad have not really shown me for every night out in Tenerife.
So we've said, oh, are we all right to go to the beach and stuff like that? Like, yeah, do what you want. No drinking. I trust you. Do what you want. So these, me and Clive Platt, senior pros, are there. So we've got another couple of younger lads have come down.
You had a drink, ain't you?
So we've gone down. So we've sat down and I've ordered a Coke. Platt's ordered a pint. What are you doing? And he said, I'm 35 years old. If I want to have a pint, I'll have a pint. Felt a bit of peer pressure. I've gone, come on then, I'll have one. So young lads are there and they're just sipping Coke and stuff at first. And then we're in this, it's a bit of a beach, like bar thing in Tenerife, so it's got to start, as it does, it starts, I'm only having a couple. It starts off, so it gets going. Next minute, Gary Lloyd, who was agent at the time, God, he's not here with us anymore, bless him, but he rings us up, where are you? And we've gone, we're not telling you, you'll tell Gaffer and that. No, I won't, let me come, I've just done this big deal, I've done this lad to China or something. He said, I need to have a drink and celebrate. So right, you can come, but you're buying drinks all afternoon. All right, I'm coming. So we tell him where he's come down straight away. He's started ordering this pink champagne, like Berry League 2 pink champagne around the living the dream. So it's gone on and on. So time goes on. Curfew where we have to be back in for tea at 7. So I've gone for have a piss, come back, and like Platty's looked at his phone. He's gone, oh shit. Okay, lads, we're going to have to go. I've gone, why, what's up? He's gone, look at that. And he's gone, I've looked at it, he said, Flicker, no text. And it said, Platy board, it's the gaffer. Listen, I've heard that cunt Cedric's rounded a crew up and got you all out. Leave that cunt there, he's finished at this club. You lot get back here as soon as you can. I know he's rounded you all up. So I'm going, the fucking prick. Am I getting blamed for this? I'm drinking coke in here.
I'm ringing him. He's going, don't ring him, mate. He's fuming. I'm going, nah, I'm ringing him. He's going, and Lloyd's going, nah, I won't ring him, mate. He's fuming. I'd leave it and go and see him. I'm going, it's fucking bullshit, this. So we've come back. We're all steaming. We've come back for dinner. And Lloyd's going, listen, I just show your face and get off. I'm going, nah, yeah, I'm having him. I'm not getting done for this. So they've managed to, like, get me out. And I've got back to the room. And I'm laid on bed and I'm rooming with Claire. And he's going, do you know what I mean? I will literally ring. I'm going, if I go down, I'm taking you with me. I said, I'm, so I'm not taking no play for this. And he's gone, you bell end, I'm winding you up like, oh, yeah. I'm not learning your lesson. He got one at lads, he changed one at lads' names and that number and takes you.
Up line.
Yeah. I've realised looking back on this, I kind of got dragged out quite a lot when I shouldn't have done, do you know, on these little renegade days and nights.
There's been a lot of peer pressure going on. And you seem to have succumbed a number of times.
You grow up, man.
Just say no.
Grow up, man. You make your own choices.
He's common denominator, Parker.
Yeah. Ring leader.
Yep. What about when we went to Liverpool on Christmas Day and he put that much in Kitty for being late? He's like, I'm determined. I'm having it back out. So, first bar he went in, he were ordering 2 pints for everyone, one, weren't he? He'd had 12 pints of lager and lime in first bar we come out of, haven't you?
Basically, obviously I'm travelling from Barnes to Preston, I'm doing like 220, 230 miles a day. Got to the point where I'm setting off. I'm literally, if I hit 3 red lights, I'm late.
He used to ring me. I lived in Manchester and I used to leave at half 8. And I'd have just set off on the phone and going, go, oh, I'm fucked, mate. I'm fucked. I've just set off. And I'm like,
I've got an hour and a half to get to Preston from Barnsley in rush hour. Right? So I used to like screech into training, like just abandon my car, leave door open, just running. Like I literally used to walk in with talking clock. The time is 9:59:40. Fuck off, Cal. You're not finding me today. Anyway, one morning I've done it again. I've set off late. And anyway, it snowed overnight, and I'm like, thinking, fuck me, I'm really struggling here. So I get into, I end up going the back way through Huddersfield, and it was just rammed up. There was no way, I wouldn't have got there for 12, probably. So I thought, Big Al's going to go fucking ballistic here. So I phoned him, I phoned Bill. Bill, you would not believe what's happened. I've had a car crash. He went, what? I said, mate, honestly, somebody's fucking slid into the side of my car. I've had a car crash. I says, like, I'm not going to make it in. I'm going to have to sort it out. So obviously, right, no bother. Just so, like, later that week, I think it was the start of the week. Later that week, so I've had to take my missus at times car to like mine's and Gary's getting repaired. You know what I mean?
He's got deep into it.
So for missing training, it might have been what, 250 quid? I think it was like 250 quid for missing training. Yeah. I'm thinking, I put enough in this fucking fine pool here. I don't want to be paying that. I thought, why can't I? So like, I said, lads were like, you fine 250 quid. I'm like, I'm not under no circumstances am I paying that. Some fucking assholes crashing to the side of me in snow, right? So I said, right, we'll have a vote. So we were playing away on the Friday night, the Saturday. So the Friday night we got in a table and I've stood at the front. And we're like, it was all doing a seminar. And I've got my flip chart, right? And I was like, I took time and I'm drawing these imaginary streets.
You draw it ill, right? This is ill I've come to.
I was drawing this imaginary map, right? So I've turned it round, so, and I'm basically, I'm coming across here.
All fabricated.
All just total lies.
So
I've got like 18 lads here, all listening to my...
But then he's getting cross-examined, right? Oh. You didn't say that a minute ago, you just said...
I'm going to police it over. I'm coming across here, yeah, and this street, this is a steep hill here, and basically what's happened is this car, this Fiat Uno, it's come down here and this woman slammed anchors on, and just at that point where I'm going past the street, she skidded and hit me straight outside of my car. Right? I said, I couldn't know what about it. So I explained for like 20 minutes. I'm just fucking blatantly lying for 20 minutes, right? And I'm getting questions and answers. So he says, right, we'll take it to a vote. So we voted. I think there were it might have been 18 players, and it got to like last four. I can't remember. I think it might have been Ledge last four. And it all neck and neck. Like, Ledge. No, it didn't. That definitely happened. Thank you very much, boy. Good night. God bless. Enjoy your supper. So I got out and paid me 250 quid, and for like weeks and that after, lads, like, you were lying, weren't you? Was I? Fuck. Mate, that is a gospel truth.
I think he lied that much, even actually.
Even Bill started believing it himself.
Honestly, mate, it was for the like, but it saved me 250 quid.
Is this the first time that you've revealed that it were?
Well, a long time after.
I think everyone's realised now that Johnny is a liar sometimes.
Said, cheers. Thanks.
Good
to be back within the company of.
It's nice to be.
I told you it wouldn't be as boring as what you said, didn't I?
I still can't believe they've let you two loose with these microphones. That's what I can't believe. Two reprobates.
It's an 18, man. You can't
parental advisory.
Daddy's done a podcast. You won't listen to it, kids.
Well, thanks for listening again. Get the reviews in iTunes, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. All that stuff. Any final?
Nothing for me.
Nothing. No.
Just hope you're enjoying it.
Don't sell any wills before we go.
Don't sell a will, Chris.
Anyone wants a will or some life insurance? Give me a call.
What's the company called?
Lionhurst Life. We're on Instagram, internet.
Oh, there you go.
Textbook.
The old Worldwide Webber.
If you want any perfume, don't ring Brown.
And on that note. Cheers, see you in a bit.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.